Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tales from the Bar. I'm really happy you're here to start your weekend off right. I'm your host, Jen Noga, and today we're joined by Haley Crusher Kane from Haley and the Crushers. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, and enjoy your time at the bar.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Tales from the Bar. I am here with Haley from Haley and the Crushers. You can go ahead and introduce yourself. You can give any sort of like details that you want, like your social security number, the three digits on the back of your credit card, like any identity stealing information that you would want on the internet forever. I mean, now would be the time.
Well, my name is Haley Crusher Kane. I am a human being. I'm a ham, and I play guitar and sing in the band Haley and the Crushers, formerly of California, now of Detroit, Michigan. So that's me.
Michigan's fun. My cousins live up in Michigan. So up in like, really North Farmington, I think.
So I have not explored much of it. I've only been here for a few months. So yeah, we packed up all of our things about 4 or 5 months ago now in April, and we packed up everything and just drove across the country. And we're living in a construction zone at the moment. We bought a fixer-upper built in the 1920s. And so it's been a nonstop adventure, like nonstop.
Why did you guys decide to move?
We had toured through Detroit several times. I guess I shouldn't say several. It was like two times. And we really liked the can-do spirit. And it really felt like there was an ability to build here, whereas a lot of cities, you know, you go to Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, even Austin, especially Austin, all these places, they've all been built up. You know, all the cool stuff's happened. And because of Detroit's unfortunate, but also kind of inspirational change that it's gone through since the 1950s, and it still continues today, it's like Detroit is on a journey. Detroit is on a soul journey. There's a lot of like opportunity for weirdos, artists, people to come in and maybe not have to have such that high overhead of living, but also there's all these outlets and venues and bands and art spaces and creatives in one little place, big place, I should say, big place with less population than it was built for, I should say. And it's just kind of a fun, like, wonderland. It's kind of like a playground. It's kind of like an old circus that's kind of like broken down and bombed out. But then there's like new stuff being built over here. And there's, you know, people trying to like, you know, kind of scrounge together that the cobble together something cool. Not unlike Berlin, which I also love. And I feel like there's such a like sister cityhood between Berlin and Detroit. Because, you know, Berlin has gone through so much since the 90s. So we just felt like it was, you know, in 2020, a lot of people like made big life decisions like divorcing, getting married, having babies. I don't know, like getting a dog, starting sourdough recipes. Like for us, our like big takeaway was like, okay, before COVID, we were touring a lot and we were not able to do that obviously during COVID. So let's move somewhere where we are centrally located so we can just fucking tour and get in the van and not have to hustle every single second of our lives, like California forced us to do.
That's
a long answer. And I'm only giving you a long answer because you asked. And when people do ask, like, why did you move to Detroit? I'm like, well, do you want the 5 second one? Or do you like, I can just say Coney dogs and that's enough. You did ask.
No, it was a good answer. I'm always interested in like people's reasoning behind their decisions. Maybe that's just because my brain works that way, but
it's been an interesting journey. I mean, we're such a California band that I also think like people do deserve an answer to that question. If they like our music and they feel like intrinsically drawn to like the sunniness of it or like the Californianess of it, that's still at our heart. And we're definitely not turning our back on California, but California's on fire. California's in a drought. Housing prices to buy a house start at like $800,000. Like, you know, living out here is such a different, and it's just such a different vibe, you know, and we're just happy to be part of it. Everyone's been so friendly and welcoming. And like, I feel like California people are such assholes, not all of them, but like they are, they really are. I'm an asshole. Like I'm sarcastic and I'm like walking around being a sarcastic asshole. And people here are like, no, I'm very polite. I'm very Midwestern. I'm very kind. I'm very, you know. And it's making me realize like, oh, like I'm way more Californian than I thought I was. Kind of an asshole.
It's okay. The Midwest will wear you down over time. So you may be saying like ope all the time and ranch dressing goes on everything. So
oh my God. The amount of ranch dressing is fucking this needs to be on the news. This needs to be on the news. I've literally seen a carafe of ranch dressing appear at a table. Also, this is my beef, plastic bags. So Californians, we have been completely like brainwashed, you know, to be like, plastic bags are bad. There is a garbage heap in the middle of the ocean. You are contributing to the entire world's downfall with these plastic bags. You must bring your own bag, bring your own bag, bring your own bag. You got to buy a bag. You come here. I swear to God, I went to like a Meijer the other day, shout out to Meijer. And I bought like banana, a bunch of stuff, but like the lady put a double bag of bananas, like put my bananas in a double bag of plastic bags. And I was just like, and I had brought my own bags, but I feel scared to ask people here if I can use them. Cause I've gotten a lot of shady, like, no, you can't use your own bags. Like you're going to use plastic bags from a different store. So I've been really struggling with that. The ranch dressing is out of control. Everything's on the side. And then gotta be on the side. And then the plastic bags. That's my only beef so far.
Well, that's pretty good.
It is. Like,
considering,
I mean, like, I would rather take that than like wildfires and, you know, Johnny Depp.
Yeah. And earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest irrational fear is that the one time I go to California, because I've never been to California, the one time that I go, the big earthquake will happen.
Okay. So I was in like one of the biggest ones in the early 90s. I think it was called the Northridge one. I always forget the name of it. I think that's what it was, but it was gigantic. I don't even remember how big it was. I should know this. This is a horrible story. But anyways, I was a little kid and I had a sleepover and it was one of the most horrific experiences of my life because yeah, everything in my room just completely, I was like 6 years old, like fell down. I was in bunk beds and they were like shaking all crazy. And then my mom, I'll never forget my mom running into the room in her underwear, like, like freaking out. And we had to like sit outside and like wait, like huddle. And like, that was a really gnarly one. But you know, like every place has its thing that's scary. For me, I'm scared of mass shootings, but that can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm very scared of mass shootings because they happen at such random places, but I'm also scared of tornadoes. And here in Detroit, we had a 75 mile per hour like windstorm that was literally, it made like mattresses that were sitting out on the street. There's like this one mattress that has bed bugs on it that I'm always looking at, like, when will they take it away? It was like rolling down the street like a piece of paper. And I was like, okay, well, this is a little different. It's a little different. It's basically a tornado without the tunnel, you know?
Probably a microburst.
Is that a thing? Like, yeah, what are these words?
So a tornado is when the air like moves. So weather lesson for everybody that's listening. Tornadoes, they like rotate. So everything is like kind of like you can tell when a tornado goes through because everything's kind of like rotated. But a microburst is when the air comes down and then goes straight out. Because we had one where I live. And then we had another one when I was on campus. And I was like, everyone's like, it's a tornado. And I was like, it's a microburst, actually, if we're going to be specific here. Like
the microburst kind of sounds like it should be an album or something, or like some sort of technology, like skincare, like now with microburst technology. Like, doesn't that sound like,
yeah, a marketing person?
And like somebody like workshop that. Like, what's the other one where it's like a super cold one. It's like Arctic tundra cyclone or something.
Oh, the polar vortex.
A polar vortex. Like, that sounds like a metal band.
It does.
Somebody is really like working on these things.
But
I remember when we just had El Nino, like that was a thing. That was just like a normal.
Isn't El Nino, is that the wind or the rains?
It's a rain thing. It's a wetness thing. It's a wetness thing.
Okay.
It's a moisture thing.
That makes sense. I don't remember that one.
Like, I'm planting all the sunflowers, roses. I'm going to grow so many vegetables. Not having water restrictions here is so incredible and very shocking and very like, I get upset when people take long showers because I'm just conditioned to be like, no.
You're like, you got to speed it up. We got to conserve water.
That's right.
Getting into my questions, even though we've had a great conversation thus far. I love it. This is what the podcast is all about. I start off everybody that I've ever interviewed. I ask them this very simple question. What is your favorite 90s bop?
Oh God. I mean, I should have listened to your podcast before this so I could actually have like a fun answer, but I'll just say the first thing that came to mind would probably be like an Ace of Base song.
Okay.
Just because I remember being a kid in the 90s and loving Ace of Base, or like maybe like The Sign would be the song, and Peach Kelly Pop just did like a cover of that. You know that song?
I think so.
I saw the sign.
They used it in Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I am. I'm aware.
If it's a radio bop, that's probably it. That's I mean, that's what I think of when I like go back in my mind to the early 90s.
That's a good answer. Normally I get like Mbop by Hanson, or one time somebody spent like a good portion of our interview like trying to find a 90s bop because they wanted it to be accurate. And I was like, I'll take like late 80s, early 2000s. They're like, no, it has to be 90s.
One of my first CDs I ever bought was the Titanic soundtrack as well. And so I definitely listened to like the extended versions of like My Heart Will Go On with extra flute. And I think there was an instrumental with just flute or something. Or maybe it's not flute. Maybe I think there's some weird different instruments in that song. But so yeah, My Heart Will Go On, Spice Girls. I mean, anything from Spice Girls. Yeah. I love Spice Girls. But I feel like the first thing that came to mind was Ace of Base.
Yeah. That's
and whenever it comes on the radio, I'm like, yep, I'm into this.
I'll crank it up.
All That She Wants Is Another Baby.
Since this is called Tales from the Bar, and even though we're not at a bar, I like to ask everybody, what is their favorite drink? It doesn't have to be alcoholic. Oh my God. This happens every podcast where I just sound like I smoke 12 packs, but it doesn't have to be alcoholic if you don't drink. But like, what is your favorite drink?
So I have two favorite drinks. My first would be an alcoholic drink. It is a Paloma, which is, as you probably know, but for the listeners, it is tequila. Some people make it with Squirt, which is a fantastic, delicious drink. I drank a lot in the 90s, actually. But I like it with so it's grapefruit juice, tequila, and a little splash of soda water and a lime. And if you throw a Squirt in there, that's good too. But that's like my favorite thing right now. I really like tequila. My husband/rat dog daddy/bass player, Dr. Kane Esquire, got me into tequila. And so he's always like introducing me to new kinds of tequila. And then I instantly forget the names of them. So whenever I'm at the bar, I'm like, I would like a Paloma, and he'll tell you what tequila to get. but my non-alcoholic favorite drink is very apropos. If you were to look at me, you would definitely put a pamplemousse LaCroix in my hand, or LaCroix, however you want to say it. I look like I should come with that if I was like a Barbie. Because I am pamplemousse. I'm a total pamplemousse. So that's like my favorite just every day. Like I'm downing. I just had one this morning. I will pop open one of those in the morning, and I don't care if it's messing up my tooth enamel. I love bubbly water. I'm obsessed.
That's how I feel about coffee. Like I'm not supposed to have it, but like I gotta stay awake, and I am caffeine dependent.
So you're not supposed to have coffee.
No, so I have this condition. It's called POTS, which is posterior orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And it's like it basically has to do with like regulating where my blood goes. And they're like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have like a lot of caffeine because it'll like, you know, mess up some stuff, or like it'll cause, I think it's like your blood vessels to like dilate or something. And I was like, yeah, I hear you. But I will just wear compression socks and call it good.
Yeah. You should get into that half calf lifestyle if you haven't already. I was dealing with some anxiety and some heart stuff once, and I stopped drinking, or like I would get half caffeinated and it would trick me into feeling like I was getting the full buzz. It was just enough, you know?
Yeah. I don't drink that much. Like my dad will make a pot of coffee in the morning and I'll drink about like half a cup.
Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I got into tea culture for a while, and I still drink tea. I feel like tea is like the precursor to everything in my day. It's like tea first, but it doesn't really count. I have to still have coffee or something else later.
Yeah.
But like getting into tea culture is really fun. Like there's so many options that are either caffeine free or have just a bit of caffeine. And living where I live, so I live in a neighborhood that's mainly people from Bangladesh and Yemen. And I've been having a ball just going down to these little, like, I want to call them bodegas, but that would be like the wrong term, but what they're called, delis, obviously, or like, I don't know. They're like shops that have literally everything, and some things are expired and some things are random and some things are like magical, and some places have like live poultry. It's very exciting. But anyways, the tea I found there has been so cool because these are all teas. Like, I don't know what they say. Like, I don't even know what they say on them because it's not in English, and I'm just going by what they look like. And I've found like so many things that were like herbal and floral and like spicy and like, you know, it's just fun. Like, I feel like tea is like kind of cooler than coffee in my
opinion. Yeah. You definitely have like, you have more options. Like so Sleepy Time Tea. Like that brand, Celestial, I think it is. They have all their flavors.
I will fuck with some Celestial tea. I will. Yeah. That shit's delicious.
And then if I'm going for a non-coffee drink, there's a coffee shop in Kent, which is where I go to school, and it's called Scribbles, and they do these things called like milk steamers. So I get it with oat milk because I'm lactose intolerant on top of everything else. So I get an oat milk steamer with like honey and lavender in it.
Oh,
it's so good. I tried to make it at home, but it never tastes the same.
I love that. Yes. I've actually had, there's a place in San Luis Obispo, California, where we moved from. They call it the honey tea bowl. And I feel like you would love it because it's literally just the steamed milk. You can get alternative milks and it's like honey, lavender, and like black tea or something. And it's just like, it's just a bowl of milk. You're like a cat just like licking it
up. Oh, perfect. Perfect. I love it.
Yeah. I think women of a certain age too get like scared to be like drinking, like, oh, I'm drinking tea before bed. It's like, no, like put on your moisture, put on your face mask, drink your fucking tea. Like I'm over trying to like have a cocktail at night. Like I used to do that. Like I'll have a little fancy. It's like, no, I'm just going to like watch what we do in the shadows and have tea.
Yeah.
And pet my dogs, and that's okay.
I'm not a fan of going out. I'm like, we need to hit happy hour at like 5 p.m.
Same.
So I'm in bed by 10 and call it good.
I'm struggling so much with Detroit for that reason. All the shows start. I mean, I'm just so black and white today. I'm like, all this, all that, everything. Many of the shows I've been to recently feel like they start kind of late and they go late, and also they're really loud. I feel like the ghost of the MC5 and the Stooges and all that and the White Stripes are still very much alive here, which is fantastic. But I've realized like, oh, I'm not 23 anymore. And I just like literally get tired at 9:45. And for this reason, I want to bring back matinee shows, breakfast shows. And we actually have played like at a public library. We've played at like coffee shops. We played at a roller derby. Like we played at the beach. Like I want to bring that back because I hear so many elder millennials and just like older punk rockers in general say this to me, and they say it, oh, I really wanted to go see the Subhumans, but like, oh my God, it started at like 9 and there were like 4 bands and it's a whole thing. And like, I feel like there's a need there and I want to like be the champion of that.
I think you should be.
I mean, no one would show up probably because, well, they have to catch on to it. So we'll see. But I do think that this is something I hear a lot of, and like, I want to be that person that's like, no, we're going to do a breakfast show. There will be breakfast burritos. There will be a salsa station. Come hang out and then go do the rest of your day. Get errands done.
Yeah.
Cross off your to-do list. Like,
I fucking love errands. That's what I do on my mom was like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, can we run errands? Because I get a silly little treat. And sometimes I go to Target and I buy things I don't need. And it's great. I love errands.
I have something for you to do on your errands. I started doing this. Put on some really interesting instrumental music. Like think about like the music in Quentin Tarantino movies kind of thing.
Oh.
Something cinematic. Put that on as you're doing errands. And I swear to God, it feels like you're in a movie. It's really fun.
Oh, you're giving me so many ideas. I'm going to have like,
but make sure it's very cinematic. It has to have a lot of orchestration. You know, you can actually look up like the other day we looked up the, Ferris Bueller's Day Off soundtrack. We were in, not the other day, it's other month, but we were in Chicago playing a show and we were driving around and I was like, let's listen to like that soundtrack while we're in Chicago. And it felt like very cool. Like we paired it to the experience, you know, and we're just driving around.
And then you have that association of like, anytime you hear it, you're like, oh, I think of that time when we just drove around.
Yeah.
Listen to it.
Yeah. I feel like daily life can be really like rich, but you have to be deliberate about that or else it just becomes a blur and you just forget your entire life.
Yeah. There's what was it? It was a TikTok and it was like, life is short, but also incredibly and insufferably long.
It's very true.
I think Jenna Marbles said it. It sounds like, I'm like listening to the audio in my head. I'm like, it sounds like Jenna Marbles. I don't know if you know who that is.
I don't know who that is because I'm not on TikTok.
She was a really big YouTuber. She retired. Oh, okay. So she's not like making content anymore, but she lives on through infamy.
I retired from YouTube. Going off to my retirement home. There should be a YouTube retirement home.
Yeah, it's just me going in there with my microphone being like, hello, would you like to be on my podcast?
That's what happens when you retire from YouTube. Yeah, you have to just, that's your purgatory. You just get to do podcasts all the time.
Everybody starts a podcast. I should know, I did one.
I have one. So my podcast is called Sparkle and Destroy, and it's available places. I also have a Substack, and I do mostly, so I'm a writer. So that's what I do. That's my job. So I don't actually do writing on my Substack because I find that annoying because I already have to do that for my job. So I just do like audio. I call them audio gifts because I'm a new age hippie, I guess. And I've been trying to get them out regularly. So if you sign up to my Substack, not to like be plugging all my shit right now.
Plug your shit.
I'm just saying, like, I do consume audio and I make audio and I appreciate audio. And if you like audio, I will talk at you.
Sounds great. I'm going to subscribe.
Yeah.
I'm broke, but I will subscribe.
Oh, it's free. My Substack's totally free. I wanted to create a place that was like people that were into my music and jive with like my energy, I guess, and just wanted to know a little bit more without it being like for everybody.
Yeah.
I think the internet offerings that allow us to do those things, like Patreon, which you do have to pay for, but like there's definitely different walls and boundaries now that I think is actually good, because I don't really want to hear like one of my favorite artists, like what they had for breakfast. Like, I don't usually want to, but there are some I do. There's some that I'm like, oh, I think I would be friends with this person. Maybe I do want more. And I feel like just putting all of it out there all the time is kind of what's causing fatigue in my generation and just in general on the internet. Like, it's a lot to have everyone's innermost thoughts, politics, everything all the time. It's like, I want to be able to choose to go there. And so if people want to choose to go there with me, I'm like, let's do it. So that's kind of how I've kind of pivoted in my like internet usage. And I feel like it's been very, very good, like healthy. Like, it feels good. Like, I feel like it took me 35 years to learn how to use the internet correctly. And now I feel good.
I'm kind of getting there, but now as like a content creator, I have to like fight with the algorithm. To like make sure that my stuff gets seen and promoted. And so it's really weird, 'cause like I will post the same video on TikTok and Instagram. And TikTok, it'll get like maybe like 200 views tops, but on Instagram, it'll get like up in the thousands, like double digit thousands, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I'm like, I guess I posted at the right time, or like they're pushing this kind of content right now. And it's all like a big guessing game, which is like hard.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can relate to that. Like, as someone who has to market my stuff too, I have noticed on different platforms, different things taking off, but I feel like it's almost like, I don't know. I try to think of it this way. Like, all of these resources are 100% free. So I'm able to reach all these people for free. So it behooves me to learn about these platforms. And I actually listened to like some pretty hilarious podcasts that people would be like, what the fuck? Like Gary Vee, who talks about, he's hilarious. I mean, I know, you know, Gary. I actually listened to the DIY Musician podcast because they talk about like how to get your numbers up on Spotify, but also like, you know, use music as a marketing tool and all this stuff. Like, I would say, like, obviously I'm creating a lot of content, art, whatever you want to call it, but I probably spend 20% of my day every day thinking about marketing. And I am a marketer, that's my job, but I feel like it behooves us to do that if we have these platforms that are insanely awesome. And I mean, they're annoying, but it's like, I feel like we're all smart enough to like maybe try a little. I mean, not to be a dick. I feel like I'm being a dick to you right now, but
no, you're not.
I guess what I'm saying is like, it's not that hard to kind of just bring in a little of that information every day so you don't feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, I get newsletters where it's like, oh, like Instagram likes it better when you do this and that. I'm like, okay. You know, I don't struggle with it as much because I feel like I'm feeding myself that information and knowing like this shit is going to change. Like, I came from a place of having a blog I had a walk-in closet. My dad set up a computer and I had a blog or like a website, and it was like HTML and like message boards. And I remember like going from that to like LimeWire and downloading music and going to MySpace. Like, my long view is like every fucking thing I make on the internet is going to be dead. It will still exist, but it is not going to get that attention. I mean, it's just such a like flow of like, we are all in this like wave of time, and like, it's just not going to stop. There's never going to be like that good old day, like coming back, you know? Yeah. And I think of like the good old days in like the 90s and like, yeah, late 90s, like being on, and the early 2000s being on the internet and like oh my God, I met so many cool people, like real people and like people that were doing like kind of like online zines and stuff. And like, I can't like think about that because that's not what the internet is anymore, you know?
No, I like, I mean, well, I know, but like,
I'm just trying to give you like a little bit of inspiration, but also
no, I appreciate it. You're not, no, I appreciate it. You're doing great. We're
having- smart. You're smart. And like, if you just like give yourself 5% of information every day about it, and then you start becoming an expert. I swear to God.
Interesting.
That's all you do.
Okay. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I think everybody should try it. So if you're listening, everybody should try something.
Like look at your insights, like be aware. Like I think people are scared sometimes of like how it makes them feel, but it's okay. Like none of these things really have anything to do with your self-worth. They have nothing to do with the quality of your content. I mean, it might have something to do with the quality of your content, but that is the X factor.
Yeah.
How good is your content? But a lot of it is, like you said, like when did I post it? How did I post it? What format did I do it in? And I think remembering that is very freeing because then it detaches you from feeling like, oh, this nobody likes me. You know, that's really a silly thing that I see a lot of people, like I think more older people, honestly, dealing with because they don't understand that everything's marketing. It's like every fucking thing is marketing.
Yeah, I have a friend that works in social media. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
Barely. I am on Twitter, but I don't like Twitter.
It's so Twitter's been wild the past like 72 like plus hours. There was a guy on this Reddit post that went viral and it was like, he's like, I made the perfect playlist for lovemaking. And one of the songs on there was by like Seabat, which it doesn't quite flow with a lot of the other songs that are on there. And it became like this meme. And my friend who works in social media was like, this has to be a fake post because who would do this? Who would willingly share this information? Like, this would be great for an artist to like do this. And but no, it was real. It was a real post. The girl broke up with him. And it was between that, the Harry Styles movie that's coming out, Don't Worry, Darling, like the drama around that. And then Leah Michelle being Fanny Bryce and Funny Girl, and then the Queen dying. Like it's like the Wild West over there and it's hilarious.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just don't. I feel like I'm mostly on Instagram, Substack, and that's pretty much it.
I spend a lot of time on Instagram and I spend a lot of time on Twitter, but I don't tweet that often.
Yeah.
Cause nobody wants to hear what's going on in here.
I mean, who knows? I mean, people are crazy.
That's true. Crazy.
I feel like I have enough social media in my life and I don't even like interact with TikTok at all. So I feel like that's kind of astounding to me because I feel like there's already too much social media in my life. I can't even imagine being on every platform. I think one thing I would tell bands too, I love to like, I say like choose a platform. So if Twitter is your thing, like just do Twitter. I see bands that like do really well on Twitter and like that's their thing. We're super visual. So it's like Instagram is perfect. But I feel like it's better to just be like all in on one than to try to do everything kind of shittily, which is what I would have done because I don't really care about Twitter, you know?
Yeah. I know that like a lot of big, like for marketing, like TikTok is shaping the way that the music industry like discovers new artists and promotes things. And it's crazy that like a lot of the bands that I find are from TikTok because I spend like 2+ hours there every day. Not saying that I'm proud of it, but it's wake up, go on TikTok for a hot second before I go to bed. I'm on TikTok. It's like, but there's just so much content to consume that like sometimes it is overwhelming, but also at the same time, it's so cool to be able to reach people that you never would have heard of otherwise.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. I like to bring it old school analog, like whenever I go on tour, which we're planning on touring right now in a couple of weeks, we're going to go on tour, like super analog old school. But like when you go on tour, you are in a room with a bunch of people you would never have met otherwise. And I feel like we end up getting a lot of followers and plays every time I go on tour for that reason. Like I feel like, oh, these people become our real fans, real friends. And it feels real because I see like on the analytics side, I'm like, oh, why are we up so much on this like one album or song or something? And it's like, oh, we were just on tour in the city and they must have liked it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's such a funny thing, but it's like you are in a room of like people that are all different walks of life, different age groups, different races, creeds, whatever. And they're all there. And somehow you have like this thread that connects through all these people. And that is one thing I really missed about during COVID. That's the way that I feel like I just love to reach people the most in real life, IRL, you know? So I'm excited to go back on the road soon and like actually like look at people in the eye and like be sweaty and have them be like, can I hug you? And I'm like, yes, here's all my sweat. So I'm excited for that.
So speaking of tour, and you guys are going on tour pretty soon, where has been your favorite place that you've gone?
I don't know. I mean, we really like Detroit. That's why we moved here. But there's been a lot of, I think it kind of depends sometimes on like the venue and the night. And it's like, you don't actually get a real representation of the city you're in, you know, because you're really just seeing the venue and you're seeing those people in that people in that room. I feel like Columbus has really come out and shown a lot of support and been like a very enthusiastic city for us. So we're excited to go back to Columbus. We're playing Space Bar, I think on October. It's in October. I'm really bad at dates.
It's okay. So am I.
Early October. And I feel like Columbus like just has a lot of enthusiasm, just a lot of like just pizzazz, not to sound like I'm 800 years old, but in terms of like bars though, I don't know. Like there's so many good bars. Like I mean, I'd have to like look at a list of them. They kind of blend together after a while too.
Okay. That's a good answer though. It all blends in my brain. The week blends together so quickly, especially if there's like a holiday.
Yeah.
Like with Labor Day, I was like, I don't even know what day of the week it is, because I don't work on Tuesdays, and my mom tried to wake me up for work thinking it was a Monday, and so I was like, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what day of the week it is.
I mean, I tend to go with what the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, because that's like the current favorite.
Yeah, that's the gut answer.
Yeah, I always struggle with that because I don't have definitive answers for a lot of things, but that's probably what makes me like an artist or something. Like I'm really thinking about right now and what I did last week and what I'm doing next week. You know, I'm really future focused. I'm extremely future focused. I rarely think about the past. I rarely miss people, which is kind of concerning to me, but I rarely get homesick and I rarely miss people. I rarely miss the past. I'm always thinking about the future, for better or worse, which is weird. I do have notebooks and I write every day about like what I did. So I do have like memories, but I just don't spend a lot of time backwards. Nostalgia is, I don't have the nostalgia bone.
Something that my therapist and I worked on for a while was being more present, because if I thought too much in the future, that I would spiral out of control. Mm. And that was one of the things that we had to like really work on, was like being more present and, you know, not worrying about the things that we can't control or the things that might happen. So I always say it is what it is, because that is the one phrase that keeps me from like, that's that right. Is the one Jenga piece that is keeping me from falling over.
I tend to think of the future as like very optimistic though. Like I feel like I'm building the future. So for me, it's like exciting. Like, what am I going to create today? What am I going to create tomorrow? That kind of thing, you know? I definitely have had times in my life when I had anxiety though, where that feeling of future focus was very like dark and very worrying. So I can totally see what you're saying, but it's kind of crazy when I think about it now. Like when I think about the future, I think about all the seeds I'm planting today, you know? Yeah. And it actually brings me back to today, because I think, well, what does future me want to do in the next 5 years? Okay, well, let's plant those seeds today. What is one little thing I can do to bring me towards like what I want to do and accomplish, you know? Which is crazy to say, because I remember being on anti-anxiety, you know, medication and depression medication, and what you just said like brought me back to that. Like I used to actually feel that way, but I don't feel that way that much anymore.
It'll happen to everybody. That's what I like to say.
At some point, yeah, everyone needs therapy at some point in their life. For me, I needed therapy. I mean, I think everyone needs therapy, but I went through my most therapy time in my early adulthood and late teen years. And that was actually extremely helpful and amazing.
Yeah. I've been seeing my therapist since I was 17. So, and I'm 23 now. So she's great. Her name is Renee. Shout out to Renee. She keeps the podcast running.
Yeah. I'm glad there's so much more talk about it these days than when I was 23. I feel like it's definitely talked about more, and there's more accessible options that are cheaper now. And I think that's amazing. because I my parents paid for it, so like I don't even know how much it costs.
Yeah, but
it
probably I don't either.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think, you know, nobody goes through life, like you said, without going through some sort of struggle in that way. And like I've come to the place that I'm at through, you know, self-development and working on my mind, my thinking, my mindset, and like really just following my passions and like basically being willing to fail and like going through all the trials and tribulations that you go through to like become stronger as an artist. And I think that you don't just wake up one day and you get to that point. You literally have to like try and fail and learn and grow and make mistakes. And that is definitely not something that just happens, you know?
Yeah, like you gotta work through it.
To 33 or 35, like it's been such a journey of like making decisions based on what I wanted to be and growing into that. And one example of that is when I started Haley and the Crushers, I was in a punk band called Magazine Dirty, and I really wanted to sing my own songs. I was writing some of the songs, but I wasn't singing them. I was playing guitar. I was second guitar in that band. And so I was not ready to have my own band at that point, but that's why I did it. And I put my name on it so I couldn't back out of it. And so that all the criticism and all of the praise would be on me. And it was horrifying. Like I was so scared. I was so worried. I didn't know what the fuck to do. But through that process, I learned so much. I grew so much. And I became a better person through it. Because I had to be like, okay, well, it's my band. I shouldn't drink before I play. It's my band. I need to make sure that I make sure the shows are, you know, legit and the lineups are good and the flyers are good and set up the PA and do my own videos and edit my own videos and like all this stuff. So I had to learn all those skills through that whole thing. And I just feel like that is something that people don't talk about enough. Like just because you make that decision to do this goal doesn't mean you're ready, but you have to like grow into it and just like fall on your ass a bunch to get to where you need to be, you know? And I'm still so much working towards like where I want to go, you know?
Yeah.
So just like a never ending cycle of just like, okay, like be easy with yourself and don't be afraid to like look stupid.
That's really good advice. Cause I have a question.
I don't mean to like be spilling advice to you.
No, it's good. Cause literally I have a question like towards the end, I'll always ask like, what advice would you give to people? And that was perfect. I didn't even have to prompt you for that. I always need advice. Yeah. I love advice.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm in that kind of mood today.
So tell me a little bit about the new album.
It's called Modern Adult Kicks, and it is the follow-up to Vintage Millennial. It's a little bit more grown up than Vintage Millennial because 2020 was hard, and it forced us to, we had literally put out an album in 2020, Vintage Millennial, and then we couldn't tour on it. So we went straight back into writing, and the things that we were writing were a little bit more real. Our music is still fun and sunny, and like we're still poolside glitter punk. It's still the Crusher verse, so it's like still fun and colorful, but like there were definitely dark times in terms of like me dealing with my own, like grappling with big questions, grappling with relationships in my family and loved ones that dealt with addiction and codependency and like kind of darker things. And I think the album is fun as fuck. And if you wanted to just drink and dance to it, you could, but you could also look at the liner notes and read between the lines and maybe feel a touch of like not being as alone. So in that sense, I'm extremely proud of what we've been able to do, that it's like still joyful, but it's definitely within that realm of music that's coming out during the pandemic. And I was waiting for this. I'm like, I cannot wait to see the albums that are going to come out that were started in 2020 or 2021. And we are of that weird time and space where all these artists are coming together and like putting out some weird shit. So this is like our offering in that regard. And I hope people like it. There's definitely a lot of keyboards on it and more keyboards than we normally have, thanks to Paul Rossler, who is our producer and is an amazing kind of iconic punk rocker. He was in the band The Screamers in the 90s or in the late 70s in LA, and has worked with a lot of amazing punk bands. And so he brought in his incredible knowledge and finesse and really polished us. And it's out on Kitten Robot Records, which is Josie Cotton's record label in LA. And she's been incredibly supportive. So I would say this is like a polished, more grown-up version of the band. And if you don't like that, well, you can suck it, because this is where we're at. So We're not a punk band anymore. Sorry, guys. Like, you know, file it under poser punk, mall punk.
Mall rats. I think
mall rats
is the term. I don't know.
Punk is so dead these days anyways. It's like, just do what you want to do. That's what we did. We really embraced like the pop sensibilities from like 80s rock radio. And like, of course, there's a little 60s vibe thrown in. And like, we covered like a power pop band from the 70s that nobody knows. And we just did our own thing. We have like a little surf instrumental on there. We have like a kind of hardcore East Bay punk kind of sounding song. Like we have a ballad, like just, it's a whole smorgasbord of emotions. It's a lot. It's extra.
I love extra. I'm really excited to like go and listen to it.
Yeah, it's extra. So yeah, I hope people enjoy it and just come out on tour and like see us and I don't know, like come to the merch table because Dr. Kane is always giving away free kidney punches. So get your free kidney punch.
Will that send me to the hospital or like is it gentle?
It's a gentle kidney punch. What we do is we do a video, like we'll like video it if you want. It's on our merch, like it's like t-shirts, $20, LPs, $20, kidney punch, free. We'll video it and he has a way of like making it kind of look like a wrestling move and you just get to have an awesome experience. I mean, I feel like the kidney punch is more about bonding with the band. You don't actually like feel any physical pain. In fact, you might actually find that one of your ailments has been magically cured.
I love that.
I'm not a doctor. But I'm not,
yeah, Kane no, is. No medical advice has been given on this podcast.
Dr. Kane is a doctor of love. So if you have any relationship questions, he's like a Dr. Drew. So.
I'll be like, hello, let me just explain to you my love life. And then I'll go, what should I do?
That's right. You will tell you what to do.
Well, I feel like this is a really good place to wrap it up. As they say on the game show Hot Ones, congratulations, you've completed the interview.
Yes, I wish I was eating hot ones.
You could use this camera, and you can tell the people what you have going on. So if there's anything else that you want to plug or plug again.
I'm like such a plugger. I've already plugged everything. I guess just if anybody wants to come see us on tour, come out. And like, if you want to just be on our newsletter, like I'm always sending out like fun newsletter. Try not to spam anyone. And if you want to check out my Substack, it's Crusher Talk. And we can like talk on Crusher Talk. So that's it. And if you need advice, I will give you unsolicited advice. So sorry.
Love it.
You've signed up for that.
Yes, you did.
Hi, it's Jen again. I want to thank you for listening to this episode. You can keep up to date with all things Haley and the Crushers on Instagram at Haley and the Crushers and check out the Sparkle and Destroy podcast anywhere you listen to your podcasts or check the link in the episode description. As for me, you can find Bar Buddies on Instagram at Bar Buddies Pod and tell me who you want to see on the show next. This episode was produced in collaboration with Voltage Live.